Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 793. The topic is training and the title is Regaining Motivation. I just spoke with an online client of mine and we do Zoom consultations every week. Just kind of touching base on how everything went, talk about nutrition, training, everything. We just kind of discuss all aspects of progress. How can we be our best selves? And I love this structure with online clients when I get a chance to do consultations with them every week, because it just gives more personal touch. We can cover more information. So it's a really cool structure, really great way to feel like you're meeting in person, even when the person's across the country or even in another country. So it's really kind of neat. So I enjoy that, love it. And one of the things we talked about today was regaining motivation. So this client and I have been working together for a couple months, and when they first started, they've been in and out of fitness all the time. They've done powerlifting meet before. They've, you know, lost weight, gained weight. They've kind of done a little bit of everything, but they were needing kind of a new kick in the pants, and they were wanting some motivation in regards to having a structure in place, having financial commitment towards the process, just some things that were going to help motivate them to be their best and kind of get them through a lull that they've been going through and kind of jump-started back into a new good routine. So we did that. They have lost weight already in, I think, just 3 or 4 months. They got new pants, got to buy new pants. That's always fun, new and exciting. Got into a new routine now, working out in the mornings before work, feeling just super accomplished, feeling super happy, new PRs and strength. Everything's going really good. Well, as we all know, once everything's going well, it kind of goes to shit then, because we just, like, once we get what we wanted, the hunger and the fight for what we wanted kind of dissipates, it lessens, it goes away. Now, some people can maintain that well, some people can maintain that better than others, but for all people, there is some degree of lessening of intensity, lessening of drive. So I was listening to a book yesterday, an audiobook. Let me look up the title real fast. And what they were talking about was success. I think it was The End of Atomic Habits. So I just started a new book by John Maxwell, Developing the Leader Within You, version 2.0. But I think it was The End of Atomic Habits by James Clear, that they talked about one of the things that sets people apart in terms of long-term success is their tolerance for boredom. In the sense that what it took to get us where we wanted to be was exciting because there was progress, there was momentum, there was this unknown yet. Well, once we reach our goal, can we maintain the same habits even though there might not be new and exciting outcomes? Can we maintain the same process even if that process now becomes boring? So the most successful people aren't very disciplined. It's not that they're amazing in many other ways. They simply are just okay with being bored. That's an odd way of saying it, but it's a fun way to say it. In the sense that there isn't always an increased excitement. There isn't always a brand new. There isn't always this this unknown that drives you. So I've been lifting weights for 20 years. I've been a personal trainer for 18 years. I've worked with over 2,000 people. I think I say this all the time on podcasts. But the point is I want to reinforce my credentials so that way you know what I'm telling you is actually worthwhile to listen to. But the point of me always saying that stuff is, especially in this podcast, is that I've worked with a lot of people. I've been doing this for a long time. So I've seen in my own life, how do I stay motivated for 20 years of lifting? How have I seen other people stay motivated for 5, 10, 15, 20 years of lifting? So I actually started my mom into lifting weights and exercising. So she's been doing it since she was 47. I won't say how old she is now, because I don't think you're supposed to say that with females. But let's just say it's about 14 or 15 years later, which is pretty badass for her. So she has done 3 bodybuilding shows. She has done 7 or more powerlifting meets. So she's done over 10 competitions. And her first competition wasn't until she was 50 years old. So at 50 years old, into her early 60s, she's still competing, doing awesome, crazy, fun things. She's strong as hell, so I think she's 62-ish. And she's deadlifting over 300 pounds. She can squat around 250 when she wants to. She can bench over her body weight. It's pretty badass what she's capable of. And that's one person of many that I've seen. Okay, they've been doing this for, like, say, 10-plus years. What has motivated them? What has kept them going? And it's basically a refreshing of new goals, a refreshing of new techniques, new approaches. It's creating a sense of newness when there wouldn't be. So you have to kind of seek that out and create that yourself. And then it's also just understanding that that process is part of who you are now. So there are extrinsic outside of us, and there are intrinsic inside of us kind of motivators. And usually the people who are the most successful long-term have some degree of intrinsic motivation, and typically the more intrinsic motivation they have, the more long-term successful they are. Not the more extrinsic, more intrinsic, the more inside of them. It's just what they do, it's who they are. So their goal is just kind of like, I want to see if I can do this. I want to see if I can be my best. So one of the things that motivates me when I started when I was real young, when I was 15 years old, I remember I kind of had really piss poor genetics. I was fat and skinny and weak as shit, and I didn't like anything about the way that I was physically. I didn't like anything about the way I was mentally. I thought I was mentally weak as well. And I said to myself, is, you know what? If this is what I was made to be as like a default, okay, I was just made to be fat, skinny, and weak. I was made to accept the fact that I was fat, skinny, and weak. Well, F that. You know, bleep that. There's no way I'm sticking with that. I want to get to the end of my life and show up at heaven's gates and have God say, holy shit, I didn't know you were going to do all that. So that's something that motivates me, is I want to be better than what I was meant to be. That's an odd way of saying things, but I want to show up every day. I want to better myself. I want every single day to be a step forward, because I want to see what I'm capable of. I want to see how far I can go, how great I can become. It doesn't mean I want, you know, the most money in my bank account. Not at all. Like, money is important, and money is a marker of success. I'm not anti-money. But money isn't what drives me. What drives me is significance in life. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to make a difference in my life. I just want significance. I want to know that my life meant something. That motivates me. Now, that does often lead to money. That does help. But that isn't the sole motivator. So if money was a sole motivator, it would actually be an extrinsic motivation, because I'd be motivated by money, not by me. So I'm motivated because I want to be my best. Sometimes what motivates me is I just want to know if I can. So if I look at challenges I've done in the past where I tried to lose 50 pounds in 10 weeks or less, I've done that 3 times. In one challenge, I lost 50 pounds in 8 weeks, 2 months. I just wanted to know if I could. I've set goals for myself. I remember I was talking with a client today that I set a goal for myself that I was going to do a diet for 10 months. In 10 months, I lost over 70 pounds. That coincided at the same time for 10 months. I set the goal to do a 6 a.m. cardio every single day. I had to do cardio at 6 a.m. every day. If I couldn't do it at 6 a.m. because of traveling or some reason, I had to get up before 6 a.m. But it always had to be after midnight, so I couldn't do it the night before. But I had to do it by 6 a.m. For 10 months straight, I did it every single day. I didn't miss a single day in 10 months. And those challenges were stuff that I didn't get a reward for. Other than me mentioning on a podcast, no one else actually knew I did that. I just wanted to do it. It was for me. I wanted to know if I could. So the client and I were talking about was when we want to be motivated, but we've already reached some goals. We've already had some experience, and now we feel like that motivation is waning. It's going away. We're starting to make some backsliding habits. We say yes to the cookie when we really shouldn't have, and normally we wouldn't say yes. What do we do about that? Well, the main thing that we came up with and what I wanted to make the podcast for was work with what works. Use intrinsic, use extrinsic, use anything at all to regain some control over your habits, to regain some purposefulness to your actions. So what I've told her was that 10 months I did that challenge, one of the things that shocked me afterwards, and I made a point to remember, was for 10 months, I lost 70 pounds. I did 6 a.m. cardio every single day. Once I hit my goal, I didn't care about shit after that. So for about 3 months after that challenge, I could care less about being challenged by anything. I didn't want to do a diet. I didn't necessarily like backslide in the sense that I still always lift weights. So I've always worked out and I love working out. So I'm never going to back off on that. I didn't eat a bunch of crap and gain all 70 pounds back either. So I put on about, I think about 20-ish pounds back on, and it was a pretty good clean weight. So I didn't necessarily lose any of my progress, but my concern over every day being the best day kind of dropped off. And I remember feeling that way because it was such a ridiculous, like, numbness. I didn't care. I'd say, like, well, why don't you do this to myself? And I'm like, man, I don't give a shit. And I'd still sit at home and eat a piece of pizza. But it just, like, nothing really motivated me. And I've read a lot of books about motivation and willpower and whatnot. And it held true that after a period of overextending ourselves, we do need a healing period, and that's what I was experiencing. So we know this is true in physical self. If you've ever competed before, you ramp up your training, your intensity, and everything to get to the competition. You compete, and then you need to back off. You've pushed your body to a limit. You now need to give it some time to kind of catch up, repair some things, and kind of regroup. That happens as well with willpower, with mental exertion. If we exert ourselves mentally beyond our limits, we then need to give ourselves time to heal. And that's what this client is kind of experiencing to a degree, is they've pushed themselves for 4 months or so, and they got what they wanted. They had to say no to a lot of things. They had to get their ass up out of bed at 5 a.m. when they really didn't want to. They had to do a lot of things they didn't want to do. It got them things that they did want. But in those moments, they had to do a lot of things they didn't want to do. There was a lot of mental exertion. What they're experiencing now is they met the goal, and their body wants a little bit of time to heal. So what our talk was is, can we find things to regain control, to regain a sense of ensuring there's no backsliding, and then twist that, work that back to being moving forward. So can we stop the backslide? Can we create maintenance? Can we turn the maintenance into moving forward again, to progression? So we talked about just different types of goal setting and things like intrinsic things versus extrinsic things. So intrinsic is like habit trackers. You could track whether you worked out when you're supposed to or not. You can see how many workouts you miss. We even talked about something called a guilt tracker, where every time you make a bad choice, you make a note of the bad choice and the fact that after you chose that, you didn't like the way you felt. Well, if I see that, out of the last 10 times I made this choice, all 10 times I've regretted that choice, I'm going to be more likely to not make that choice. Now, it doesn't work in single moments so much as it starts to work as the accumulation adds up. So if I see 20, 30, 40, 50 times, if 50 out of 50 times that I've made this choice, I have regretted this choice, it gives me more power to avoid that choice. Right? So a guilt tracker works as you add them up, as the number becomes greater. Also, like we said, is you can just have the belief that you want to be your best self. You want to wake up in the morning and be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm proud of you. Can you say that today? Can you look in the mirror and be proud of who you see? Of the choices that person has made? Of the direction that person's life is going? Are you proud of yourself? If not, how good would it feel to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and be proud? To say, you know what? I am kicking ass. I'm doing an awesome job. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what I'm doing. I'm excited about where I'm going. I wake up every day and I'm excited. I am ready for this day. That'd be a great feeling, right? Well, it comes from trying to do our best every day. You may not have done the best, but you have made progress. Can you make better decisions today than you did yesterday? Might not be perfect, but can you be better? Then there's the belief of just to see if you can. You look at a challenge, you look at something and say, I wonder if I can do that. Well, let's find out. Let's see if I can do this stuff. That's risky because what if you can't? That can be scary. You know, what if I can't do that? Does that mean I'm a failure? Does that mean a loser? No. Does it mean that maybe at this moment, the version of who I am is not good enough? Yes, that can be the case. You might need to step things up to find a way to become better. Are you willing to take on that challenge? These are intrinsic things. We have extrinsic. Sometimes people are motivated by just not wanting to disappoint other people. Maybe they don't want to disappoint someone they love, someone close to them. They're also motivated by just celebratory recognition of other people. We want other people to tell us, hey, man, that looks awesome. I can't believe you're doing that. That's great. Good for you. You know, or, oh, that's so cool. I wish I could do that. You know, we want recognition from other people. Maybe you get motivated by just a goal, like in terms of results. You have a weight loss goal. You want to see 10 pounds off on the scale. Maybe you have a strength goal. You want to see 10 pounds more on a lift. Maybe you have an accumulated effort goal. You want to see, you know, how many days does it take me to get to 100 successful pull-ups? How many days does it take me to get to 1,000 sit-ups? Whatever you're motivated by, whether it's intrinsic, whether it's extrinsic, whether it's results-based or process-based, don't get caught up in the details of, oh, well, I should be intrinsically motivated. I just don't feel that. Or the expectations or the beliefs of what we could be, would be, should be. Don't shoot all over yourself is a good phrase I've heard recently. So thank you, Meredith. It's a good phrase. But that's the idea. Don't put expectations. Don't put limitations. Don't put restrictions. Don't put definitions on your motivation. Just work with what works. If there is anything that motivates you at all, use it. When Instagram first became kind of, well, actually it was way popular before I learned about it. When I learned about Instagram, one of the things I found genuinely confusing, because it's not my personality type, was people would post exercise videos and say nutritional things for no purpose. Like there was no one, they weren't trying to teach anything. They weren't trying to, it wasn't like a big like PR or any kind of special moment. They're just like, oh, this is what I did today in my workout. And then they show the videos and like sets and reps and stuff. And I'm like, why? Who cares? Like, what are people doing this for? Why do they think anybody gives a shit? Part of me still thinks that. But what I love about it now, and I don't mean to discredit what I'm about to say now, I do genuinely feel this way, is whether someone cares or not, it's a form of accountability. And you probably do have friends and family who are excited for you and they're happy for you and they want to see you doing happy things and good things. So they are, it is a cool way to just let people into your life. So that's fun. But I think the biggest purpose it serves is as a form of accountability. If you like to post your workouts every day, you will feel that if you miss a workout that day, somebody's going to wonder why you didn't post it. They're going to wonder what happened. They're going to know that you didn't do it. You're going to let them down. You're not going to motivate them to be their best because you're not even being your own best. That self-created accountability can be extremely powerful. And if that's something that works for you, great. So I've always thought it was weird when men posted selfies. I just thought that that's kind of an odd thing, because the guy will just post a picture of his face, and I'm like, okay. So I know why women do it. This is going to sound really ridiculously politically incorrect, so people might not like me after any of this. But women, I'm assuming you posted because you're either excited about the way you look, you got your hair done, you got your makeup done, you know, something about you is new. And you like it, you're proud of it, and you want people to go, hey, that's freaking awesome, congratulations for you. Great, awesome. Or maybe you're feeling down the dumps, and you just kind of want some positive reinforcement. You want some happy words spoken your way. So you'll post a nice picture, everybody tells you how beautiful you are, and it makes you feel good. And that's true, that's great, that's wonderful. I'm not saying anything that's negative. I just find it odd when a man does it. Men absolutely do need emotional reinforcement. I will say this as a man, is I need my significant other, Meredith, to tell me nice things every now and then. It just feels good. It helps you feel better about yourself, knowing that that person is happy about you. They feel good about you. They have positive beliefs, positive thoughts towards you. It does feel good. So I understand it to that degree. But the idea of me being physically fit, me taking maybe care of my skin, so that way if I post a selfie, it looks good. If that motivates you, awesome. I think in today's culture, it's very common to use selfies for just to make you feel good. But it also is kind of knocked upon and people will make fun of selfies. But at the same time is the person who's taking the selfie is probably doing something to better their life. The person who's making fun of the person taking a selfie probably isn't doing jack shit. So I know these are gross generalizations. What I'm just trying to get the point across is that if you are motivated by something, such as taking selfies, such as posting your workout videos on Instagram, whether they serve a purpose for anybody else, whether other people think positively or negatively about those things, who gives a shit? Don't put any mindfulness to whether anybody else cares. Do what works for you. If something motivates you, use it. Whatever it is, anything. Sometimes people will lose motivation in the gym, so they maybe see somebody else in the gym at the common time and they ask them if they want to be a training partner for a couple of times a week. But maybe that's exciting to them. Maybe that gets them motivated to at least do those workouts. Knowing that somebody else will be there, they can share the moment with somebody, kind of BS and, you know, things like that. Maybe you can try to put together a program. Maybe you want to, say bench 315 pounds and then create handout or an informational, educational something about how you did it. That could be great. That could be awesome. You don't need to be a trainer. Just talk about what you experienced and what works for you. And there's probably something of value for other people. But whatever works, work with that. If you're struggling to regain motivation, do not get in your own damn way by worrying about whether this thing is intrinsic or extrinsic, whether this thing is a good thing or a bad thing, whether this is the right thing to be motivated by or the wrong thing to be motivated by. Just take the motivation and run. Get moving. Get going. Okay, get back under control, or at least get under control for the first time ever in your life. Just get started. You can look at it later and try to clean it up. So people, for example, after a divorce, they'll be motivated to look better, to send a big old go screw yourself to the person who left them. Not the healthiest mental motivation, because sometimes that person just doesn't give a shit anymore. And no matter how good you look, they won't ever say they're sorry. They won't ever say, oh, I wish, you know, I could get back together with you. You might never hear any feedback from them at all. It might be enough motivation to get you started, but it is not a great motivator in the long run. If you are using responses and recognition from other people as your long-term motivation, that is dangerous. That's a recipe for disaster. But is it successful to get you started? You freaking bet it is. So over time, you can read resources about motivation, about goal setting, about the importance of intrinsic motivators versus extrinsic. But that's with time. Don't try to perfect it first. Just freaking get started, get moving. Okay? Get it going, and then you can modify how it's going. Sound good? So I think we kind of beat the dead horse on this one, but the idea is get out of your own way. If you find something that works, just work with it. Work with what works. If you want any help with motivation, we talk with this on a regular basis all the time with clients. We create individual programs for adherence, accountability, motivation, and it's all based on that personality type, what their history is, what their wants and desires. There's no recipe, one-size-fits-all kind of recipe. There really is an enormous amount of personalization to motivation, and that's why it's so elusive, why it's so difficult. Okay? If you want any help with that, just shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll help out. I promise. You can check out our website, www.brutalirongym.com, for other types of services, like these weekly consultations I do with my clients and things like that. If you're interested in any of that stuff, that's all available. So again, just check out the website, www.brutalirongym.com. I hope that through this podcast, you find helpful information and you find motivation. You find ways in which to improve your life. I truly hope that for you from this podcast. So thank you for listening, and I hope that this kind of stuff helps. If you need anything to make sure you can get to the next step of health and happiness, let us know. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. The podcast is intended to be anything you want it to be as a listener. So if you tell us what you want to hear about, we'll make a podcast for it. Promise. Okay, we are even offering free consultations. If anybody just wants to take us up on that offer, just let us know what you're struggling with and we'll answer it. We'll do it on a Zoom call, phone call. You can be anonymous. Not everybody has to know your story or anything, but just a free consultation. You and I talk for 30 minutes to an hour. I answer all your questions. We record it so other people can learn from it. So if you're interested in that, again, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. So thank you for listening to the podcast, and I hope it's helpful. If you think it is helpful in any way, whether today's podcast or just one of the ones you've heard in the past, please share the podcast. It does make a big difference. You can share it on social media, email, conversation, text message, however you want. But the more people we can share it with, the more people we can help live their healthiest and happiest life. Cool. Okay, if you want any more information from us, you can always find us on social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. That's everything. So as always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.